Good morning, everyone. So glad you're with us here on a beautiful Sunday morning, Thomas Village Baptist Church. And I'd like to welcome all those out there in Facebook land and those that are out there in the parking lot and listening on our 88.1 on the FM. We're just so glad you're here. We'll start our service off this morning with number 4, To God Be the Glory. Number 4, let's please stand.
Morning. Glad everyone came out this morning to serve our Lord and Savior. I'd like to welcome everybody and just say thank you again for God's grace. We gave out the bulletins this morning. Just a reminder, there's a little tire out in the back of it. If you need anything at all from either the pastor, the deacons, or the church itself, just drop that in the offering plate outside, and we'll do our very best to help you any way we can. If you're visiting for the first time, we'd like to say welcome. In the way of announcements, just remember the Samaritan's Purse monthly shoebox donation is going on now through the month of September. There is a basket in the foyer for donations. Grab a supply list from the table. Also, Sister Melissa asked me to bring up the storage organization project going on this week. If anybody's available, it could basically be any time that you're available. And if you need anything, just get with Sister Melissa. She can help you with that. Also, Brother Ken wanted to bring up everybody be in prayer about starting the choir back in the next month or so.
Amen.
So remember that and start praying for that, please. And remember church services tonight at 6, also Wednesday night at 6, and then be a business meeting still, I guess, at 6 o'clock
yeah.
Wednesday night, or after the service on Wednesday.
Church council next Wednesday night, next Sunday night. But this Tuesday night, God willing, we need to have a deacon's meeting at 6 o'clock in the pastor's office. Also, if you've not checked out the new app, go to your app page, whether it be iPhone or Android, and type in the name Thomas Village Baptist Church, and you'll find a new way of interaction that we're trying to move through. And also, this morning, we're going to be in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5.
Anyone have anything else this morning in the way of announcements that we've missed? Let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, our kind, gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you again this morning, Lord, just to say thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to be in your house, Lord, and thank you for everything you do for us. Lord, we beg you and ask you to come in and be with us this morning. Let us rejoice with you. Thank you for everything you do for us. Thank you most of all for salvation and for your Son. We love you and we appreciate you, and we thank you for each and every one here. We ask you to be with each person that's going to be listed on the prayer list this afternoon as well, Lord. Thank you so much. We love you. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen.
Let's all stand and sing one more song, number 485. Stand up for Jesus.
Came that you've come giving to Jesus, to Him today, whether it be praise, worship, lifting up of hands, falling down to knees, whatever the Spirit leads you to do, we pray. I pray, and I thank Thomas Village as well, as you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, would have you to be obedient to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and remind you also that the altar is always open. You don't have to be invited by me, but just let the Holy Spirit lead you. As you're turning to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we want to remind you that nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus. And if you'll let Him today, He'll do even greater things than you can ever imagine. Those of you that's watching by Facebook out in the parking lot, and all of you that are here inside, you're a good-looking body of believers today. And we also have a lot that's traveling this morning, many that are on the road, others that are dealing with physical illness and things like that. But do we have any words of praise or words of testimony this morning as you're turning to 2 Corinthians chapter 5?
I'd like to thank God for allowing me to be here today.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Danny. Anyone else this morning? Praise the Lord. Amen. It's good to see you today. I want to read a card of, it says, kindness comes in many forms, but it always comes from the heart. Thank you to my church family for all the prayers, love, and concerns. Through your calls, cards, and visits during the death of my son, your prayers were certainly felt during this dark time. God bless you all. I give the Lord praise in all things. He is my sustainer. Special thanks to the women's group for the wonderful meal. The extra food always also was given to two families in my neighborhood that were dealing with severe illness. Love, Sister Jean Rasnick. And I also want to give God the praise today because Wednesday marked 4 years that God had brought us from the wreck. And just thankful that He's been faithful to bring us through another year. And amen. To God be the glory. Also, I ask for your prayers today. As many of you know, and Mr. Jim Lamb went home to be with the Lord last week. This is Sister Renee Chester's father, and Sister Joanne, that's been coming with us, husband, and had a sweet funeral service last night, and today at 2 o'clock we'll be having the burial over in Lee County. And I do want to say on behalf of the family and myself that those that prepared a meal today, I want to say thank you for that, and that we pray that God be glorified through all that we can do. Also, Brother Wayne is preaching this morning. So in Jesus' name, we pray blessings over him. But stand with me, if you would, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to begin in verse 1, and we're going to read through verse 10. And if I had a title for this morning's message, it would simply be The Assurance of Eternity. The Assurance of Eternity. Chapter 5, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that be clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed up. But clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up in life. Now he that has wrought us for the selfsame thing, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. The assurance of eternity. You may be seated as we go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, it's good to be in your house today. And God, it's been good this morning just to see the people of God arrive at the house of God, ready to serve, ready to worship, ready to be united one with one another through the power of the Holy Spirit, that Jesus may be made much of. God, I ask you to forgive me of my sins and my failures, and I pray that you, through the Holy Spirit, preach and teach through me. In Jesus' name, I rebuke the spirit of negativity, of division, of separation. And Heavenly Father, Lord, just as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are united in perfect unity, I pray that, today we here at Thomas Village would be of one heart, one mind, and of one spirit. And God, that You'll blow through this place today. And God, again, we thank You for all that You've done. We pray for those that are dealing with loss this morning, those that's dealing with sickness. But Jesus, 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 You are welcomed in this place. Let us see You high and lifted up in a way that we've not seen You before. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Last week, July 4th, we looked at our country and we did it through the focus of Proverbs chapter 14, verses 35, where it says, righteousness, or doing what is right in God's eyes, exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any. And we looked at how even in Sodom and Gomorrah, remember the prayer was, if there be 50 righteous, 50 that are do what is right in God's eyes, that He will spare a nation, or He would have spared that city. And last week, we not only looked at the Scriptures, and we saw the heritage that we have as Americans, that we are founded on a belief in Christ Jesus, on Judeo-Christian ethics, and that our Constitution, our Declaration of Independence, for it to be viewed properly, for it to be understood, then it must be viewed through the light of eternal truth, light of eternal promises. And I pray that even though that we know that our nation has issues and we know that there's a way that we need to come back, I pray that you recognize that I'm proud to be an American. I believe that America is a God-given gift that was established by the calling of God by good and godly men. But you know, we also recognize that there has to be tribulation. There has to be falling away, is what Scripture tells us. Why? Because if it doesn't happen, then Christ will never come. There is a way that things must go. And we see that happening, and we see the spirit of Antichrist being growing darker and darker across our nation and across the world. And so today, this passage of Scripture that I've read, lots of times we only read it around the time of death. But this week, as I was getting prepared for Brother Jim's funeral, I asked to be able to hold his Bible, and I held his Bible, and I went to flipping through it, and he had some Scripture underlined, and it brought me here. And what we recognize in these Scriptures is this, that yes, we should be proud to be an American, but we also as Christians must recognize that our citizenship and our identity is not found in an American. It is not found in being a Baptist or anything like that, but it is found in Christ Jesus and as being a member and a child of the kingdom of God. Listen what Scripture says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellence of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You hear those, that we are a separated group of people. The Bible goes that as believers. The Bible goes on there in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 10 and following. We are called strangers. We are called pilgrims, or sojourners and exiles. Last Sunday night we talked about, or two Sundays ago on Sunday night as we began the book of James, we saw that Jewish believers were scattered by persecution and they couldn't live in their own home because of their belief in Christ Jesus. And that's today. We're in the same boat. We see that things are becoming more and more difficult for the believer. But praise God, we don't hold fast to our membership or our citizenship here. But praise God, in Christ Jesus. Listen, the Bible says that we're a king, part of His kingdom. We're on a different, we're on a different level, a higher government. We're underneath the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Praise God. It's easy to forget at times that because we are a peculiar people, because we have been separated in Christ Jesus, that we have certain privileges and certain rights as a prince or a princess, joint heirs with Christ Jesus. And what happens is we allow our human thinking to take over. We allow what we see in the world around us to determine how we feel, how we serve. and all that. But praise God, as we look at this passage today, we see that we always can have joy in Christ Jesus. And what we see in this passage today is a way to live more victoriously as a believer. The more I study and the more I recognize my duty as a Christian to mature, the thing that I see more and more is that it's not the outward expression of my faith that changes, but it's my inward understanding and specifically my way of thinking. You see, we've been challenged in Scripture to change the way we think. The Bible teaches us this, that as we look at the world around us, we cannot view it through human intellect and our human understanding, but we are called to view it through the mind of Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10, and having put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its Creator. Romans 12, verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, Scripture teaches us that we cannot think. If we're going to live victoriously, if we're going to have the joy of the Lord in our lives, then we have to think differently than we thought before we came to know Christ Jesus as our Lord and Savior. This morning's message is going to be about the resurrection, the hope of the resurrection, the promise of the resurrection. This morning at 10:09, as I was getting prepared and praying to come up here, there was something popped up on my phone, and it was Apple News, and it said, can science help us live forever? Can science help? I'm going to tell you this. I believe 100% that God has put into every human being a desire to live on after this life. And just like in the book of Genesis, that before He ever placed Adam and Eve on this earth, He made sure they had water, they had air, they had things to build clothing and to build houses, they had food, they had all that stuff. Every need that they would ever have had been met before He ever placed them. Even the need for salvation when He said, before the foundations of the world. And praise God, yes, man is meant to live forever, praise God, but it's not science that's going to do it. It's not good living that's going to do it. It is the blood of Jesus Christ. And we forget this. We talk about Christian morality. We talk about Christian ethics, but praise God, all of that goes down the drain if not for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the supernatural second birth. And praise God, that hope changes us. We're to be different from the world. Why? Because we have an expectation of eternal life in Christ Jesus. And glory to God, as a Christian, I am facing the only hell I will ever have to face. Because when I leave this body, praise God, my eternity kicks in. And He has promised that I have an assurance for all of eternity. You see, we've got to change the way that we think. And listen, this morning, I don't want you to take my word for it. I want you to study. I want you to understand. Yet, as I was studying and getting prepared for the funeral, Brother Jim had this one marked in his Bible. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And praise God this morning, as we consider the assurances we have for the future, we can always be joyful, even though we're not happy. Even though we may not be giggling, we may be weeping on the outside. But praise God, we can have joy. Again, it's about our intellect. We're confronted right off the bat here with the issue that our mind thinks completely different about. You remember as we're studying the book of James, immediately, James confronts us with an idea that's contrary to human thought. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. Ain't nobody says, I'm thankful that I fell into diverse temptation. What? So you see, that's a different way of thinking. And we see it in the book of Proverbs. You remember, what does he say? Desire silver and gold? He says, no, desire wisdom. Acquire wisdom. Because wisdom is more valuable. You see, the economy in the eternal compared to the economy in the temporal, this life, is completely different. And that way our thinking has to be completely different. Notice, this is where it begins in this passage, with Paul's thinking. Look there in verse 1. For we know that. Look there in verse 6. We are always confident, knowing that. Look there in verse 8. We are confident. Look, when you look up know, confident, knowing, confident, it means that we declare that we have certain information that gives us a certainty and an assurance. You see, there's something, Paul's saying, I've got information that lets me be sure about what's going to happen to me on the other side of this life. And praise God, we don't have to be ready. We don't have to want to go on the next load that's going out, but praise God, we can be ready if that is what the future holds. And truth is this, none of us know when our last breath will be. You that's watching my Facebook, the thing I was listening to this morning about can we live forever? Can science help us live forever? Listen to what they said. Aging is the greatest influence for death. Well, duh. I mean, that's some scientific blow-you-away knowledge right there, ain't it? Yes, the older you get, the more likely you are to die. That's just the way things are. That's the way life is. Listen. This is a certainty. Same thing over in Romans 8:28. And we know. I've got information. I've been given some insight. And I know, I'm confident that for those who love God, all things work together for the good of those who are called according to His purpose. The church at Corinth was not perfect. And as you know, Paul and the church had times of strained relationships. Matter of fact, if you read in 1 Corinthians, it is just a very difficult situation that's there. But Paul always affirmed them as brothers in Christ. He never took away their identity in Jesus, but wanted them to find their identity in Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 7. Now there are varieties of gift, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord, and there are a variety of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. You see what he's saying right there is he's talking to the body of Christ. He's talking to believers. And Paul's trying to show us here in this scripture, chapter 5, verses 1 through 10, that just as real as it is that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, just as much as you believe that He died on the cross for your sins, just as much as you believe that on the third day He rose again and He did it for your salvation, just as real as that is, just as much confidence and faith that you have in that, praise God, you can look at eternity, you can look at death and have the same certainty in your heart that, praise God, He's brought me this far and death is not the end, but it's truly only just the beginning for a believer who is in Christ Jesus. Authentic followers of Jesus Christ is who this passage is being written to. And so since they have this, notice what he says. And the idea, I almost named it this, or titled it this, trading a tent for a mansion. Trading a tent for a mansion. Let me ask you this, how foolish does it sound for me to set up a tent in my house to keep me dry from weather? It don't make sense. Why? Because I've got a house there. And praise God, that's kind of the idea of folks wanting to live forever but still go to heaven. You can't live in a tent and a mansion at the same time. And that's the way we have to look at it. I want you to look at these four things real quickly. Well, the first one ain't going to be real quickly, but the other three will, okay? They'll be real quickly. The first assurance, look there in verses 1 through 4. For we know that, or we have information that assures us that, if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heaven. For in this we groan. The word groan there means we sigh and we grumble, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. For if so be that, For if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up in life. Our number one assurance of why we have such confidence is because we have a personal promise about our heavenly home. We have a personal promise about our heavenly home. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50, we read, I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. So what is Paul is talking about is he's talking about the tabernacle. If you go to the Old Testament tabernacle, to the tent, what we know about it is while it was nice and while it was there were specific ways that it had to be built and the way that it had to be carried and the way that it had to be pressed, stood up and all that. And it was a wonderful thing. But it was never meant to be permanent. And think about this. When you think about the tabernacle compared to Solomon's temple, it paled in comparison to the temple that Solomon built. And praise God, that's what we have to consider here. That this body that we're in, it is just for a temporary life. It is not meant to endure throughout all of eternity. It's the same way as a tent would wear out and grow old. The Bible teaches that this physical body, under the groaning and under the curse of sin, will continue to age and break down. And basically the word there, it says to dissolve, or that basically this human body will be destroyed. Notice that Paul goes on to say, he says that if we escape, when we pass from this earthly tent, where will we go? The Bible says that we go to a house, a building not made with God's hands, eternal into heaven. And I'll be honest with you, we do have a lot of things that we may not know. Is Paul talking about here the mansion over in John 14 where Jesus says, in my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not true, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, you may be also. Is Paul here talking about our new glorified bodies over in the book of Corinthians chapter 15, verses 47 and following? For the first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven, as was the man of dust. So also are those who are of dust, as it is in the man of heaven. So also are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. Or in the same likeness of the resurrected body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Is he talking about the heavenly city that Abraham's looking for over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 10, saying that he was looking to a city that has a foundation whose designer and builder is God? Is he talking about a temporary body? That when we escape this body before the rapture and the resurrection, when we're given the new body, you see there's a mystery that's there that we don't know about. But what we do know is that there is a promise to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that makes sense. What did he tell the thief on the cross? Today you shall be with me in paradise. What does it tell us about Lazarus and the rich man? That angels came down and escorted him into the bosom of Abraham, basically the picture of paradise or of heaven, the place where God dwells. I don't know how all that's going to go on. I don't know my new body's going to look like. But I do know this, praise God, he said, in the like manner, in the same way that he resurrected from the dead, that one day he's going to call his people, and they are going to rise up with a glorified body that is not cursed by sin, and does not bear in the image the likeness of the first Adam, but only that of the second Adam. But they see why there are things that we may not know how that's going to go on. There are certain things that we do know based on this promise, this assurance that we find in a promise of Jesus Christ. Notice this. First off, it is a building of God. God is eternal. He is sure. He is unchanging. So then what God establishes or what God builds is the same. That this new home, this new body, this new place, where when we're removed from this physical body that's cursed by sin, then praise God, he's taking us to a place that's built in the image of God itself, or he's providing for us a home in the image of God itself. Notice something else. We also know that it's a building of God, and we know that it's not of human origin. Notice this term there means dissolved. Our body, the older we get, you recognize more and more that it's dissolving every day. That it's wasting away. But I want you to notice what it's dissolved by. Look there in verse 4 at the end. It says mortality, meaning those that are susceptible to death, and that's every human being. It says mortality might be swallowed up in light. It might be consumed in life. Life is what's taking over the flesh. Where is life? The life that we find in Christ Jesus. Notice something else. It says that it is eternal in the heavens. We know that there's going to be a new Jerusalem that comes down out of the clouds and that Jesus will rule and reign in the flesh in Jerusalem. So why does he say that it's eternal in the heavens? Because the imagery that is there. Heaven is the biblical picture of where God abides. And that we have a promise in Christ Jesus that wherever God is, we will abide eternally with Him. Hallelujah! We can take joy in that today. You see, we have that promise. We have a personal promise from Jesus Christ. And Paul's just reminding of this right here. But I want you to notice something else as we look at that promise. Verse 2, it says that we groan. Meaning the word groan there means to sigh and grumble. That we would be clothed on with our heavenly house, our heavenly home. That our tabernacle groans, being burdened. How many of you catch yourself when you get up or you get down, you go, oof, or you go, when you go sitting down? Huh? And the longer the day is, the longer the groans get, don't they? Huh? You know what that is? Every time I take a step and I hear something in my ankle go, pop, pop, pop. You know what that is? That's my body saying, the curse is getting heavier. I'm wearing down. I'm breaking down. But you know what? If we get our minds right, every pop, every cry, every sigh, we'll be thinking it's only just a little bit longer. Just a little bit more, and I'm going to have to deal with this body. Listen, not only do our bodies pop, crack, moan, crackle, and all those other things, the Bible says that the very creation itself, listen, Romans 8, 18, for the creation waits with eagerness, longing for the revealing of the sons of God. You see, the earth is ready for the last person to be saved. For the creation was subject to futility, not willing, but because of Him who is subject it in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoptions as sons, the redemption of our body. You see, praise God, as we stand at the casket of a loved one, as we face the situations of the day, we have an assurance in Christ Jesus that this is not the end. Notice, it says here, if so that we, being clothed, we will not be found naked. If you go back, the word naked here means to be uncovered. If you go back to the book of Genesis chapter 3, it is in nakedness that Adam and Eve realized their sinfulness. It says in Genesis 3:7 that the eyes of both of them were open and they knew that they were naked. What did they do then? They ran and hid themselves. They ran and tried to cover themselves with their own fig leaves and things like that. You see, nakedness is a picture of sinfulness. Nakedness, that when God looks upon you, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, all He sees is sin. All He sees, all our deeds are laid out before Him. But you remember how it was over in the book of Genesis when God came to Adam and Eve. What did He do? He did cast them out, but praise God, He killed an animal and took the skins of that animal, and blood was shed for their covering of their nakedness. And praise God, we have the Lamb of God whose blood has been shed, and in Him we are covered. In Him His hand is upon us. When God looks at us, He does not see our sinfulness, but He sees the righteousness of His Son, Jesus Christ. You see, not only do our bodies cry out, not only do we have the promise of God, but we also have the provisions of Christ Jesus, that Jesus will not allow us to be found naked, whether we be here or whether we be there. On this side of eternity or that side of eternity, Jesus has gone before us and He had made sure that we will not be found in our sinful nakedness. You see, as we look at this Scripture today, we have the personal promise for Christ that, praise God, this human tabernacle will be swallowed up. The mortality of our humanness will be swallowed up in the life that is Christ Jesus. Assurance number two is the person of the Holy Spirit. We have the person of the Holy Spirit living within us. Look there, verses 5 through 7. Now he who has wrought us for the selfsame thing is God. The word wrought there means that He has worked it out. He has completed, or He has accomplished what? He has accomplished our salvation. And notice it says that selfsame thing. What is that selfsame thing? It is that the body of the flesh will be done away with so that God will be glorified in the Son, and that we, His creation, will spend an eternity with Him. That was the purpose of Jesus coming. That's what He worked out on the cross. He worked out our salvation through the death, burial on the cross, and then He worked out our eternal destination through when He rose up from the grave. Notice it says that that same God who also has given us the earnest of the Spirit. It's kind of like a heavenly down payment, but it's a guarantee of the promise. You ever had to leave your wallet at the gas station or something like that, or your license at the gas station because you didn't have cash on you or anything like that, and you said, "Hold my wallet or hold my license and I'll be back in just a minute and give you the cash for it"? You know what that was? That was a guarantee that you were coming back. They could call your house. They could call the law to you. You didn't steal gas or whatever. Well, praise God, on the day that we get saved, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit breathes new life in us and comes to dwell inside of us. And that is the guarantee that He will not leave us fatherless, but He will do as He said and come and take us into His heavenly kingdom. You see, listen, what does the Spirit do? In John 16, verse 13 and following, we're told, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth, for He will speak on His own authority. But whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare you these things. He will glorify Me, for He will take what is Mine and declare it unto you. And part of that is this. Praise God, this is not the end, but there's a new body. There's a new life. There's a new heaven that is in store for you, just past the shadow of death. And you know what? The shadow of death. You know, a shadow, all it is when an image comes between you and the light source. A shadow has no power. A shadow can't grab hold of you. It can't kill you. All it does is can pass over you. And praise God, in Christ Jesus, that's all death is. It has no power over us. It just passes over us as we go into the presence of our true and living Savior. We have the assurance of the promise of God. We have the assurance of the person of the Holy Spirit. But we also have the assurance of our personal service to Christ. We have the assurance of our personal service to Christ. Look there in verses 8 and 9. It says, "We are confident, I say, and willing to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." Notice again, he has information that lets him be assured of that when he leaves his human body, he's going directly to the presence of Christ Jesus and there to be with Him forever. How has that happened? I don't know. I don't know how lights come on. I don't know how solar power works and all that other stuff, but I'm not going to stop using it, and I'm not going to stop believing just because it's above my pay grade. Amen? Notice it says, whether we labor, wherefore we labor. The word wherefore, therefore, means because of this. Because of what? That we are confident. We're confident that on the day we die, we're going to be with our Redeemer. We have that information. You know, we here at Thomas Village Baptist Church, we believe solely in grace through faith salvation. All because of Christ Jesus. Nothing, no personal attributes, no personal efforts, no personal labors gain us anything when it comes to salvation in Christ Jesus. Matter of fact, we know and we recognize that the Bible teaches us over in the book of Isaiah chapter 64, I think it's verse 9, it says that our righteousness is as filthy rags. If you want a clear picture of that, study that up. Look at that picture. But all praise God, it says this, we labor. We work. We do something. James tells us, what is a faith that does not push you to do something? How do you display your faith in Christ Jesus? How are you displaying your assurance of your heavenly home? How are you displaying the fact that this is the only hell you'll ever have to face? How are you displaying that? The Bible teaches that we do it in the way that we live, or the way that we expel energy for the cause of Christ. It doesn't save us, but it helps bring assurance, and it helps bring growth to the kingdom. Just as it talks about with the spiritual gifts over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, for just as the body is one and has many members, all the members of that body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. Praise God, I'm excited. I saw people here early, 9:15 this morning. They were laboring and moving around the church. Praise God, the women's ministry is getting back going, our youth ministry, our Sunday school ministry, all those. And praise God, what is that? That are people that is God's people working out, showing their relationship with Jesus Christ, showing their confidence of an eternal home and a new body that's there. And I want to tell you this today. Praise God, if you had a ministry or you are a part of a ministry before COVID, praise God, I, as pastor in Thomas Village, expect you to pick that ministry up and to keep on running with that ministry so that we can be all that God has called us to be. And I wanted to show you something else. Notice what he said. He said, we labor whether we're present or whether we're absent. Do you know what that means? That means when we get to glory, we ain't just going to sit around on clouds and fling the harp. We're going to do stuff. We're going to serve when we get to heaven. How? I don't know. That's some of those unknowns. But praise God, it's in my promise that I've been given. The information that brings me some assurance tells me that when I leave this body, there's a new one waiting on me, an eternal body, and I'm going to have something to do with and for my Lord for the rest of all eternity. Is that not awesome? Praise God, no more do you have to work to pay the mortgage. No more will you have to work to keep the lights on. Hey, hallelujah, it says there'll be no need for any light because He is the light. Don't I say that? I mean, man, it's just, we got to change the way we're thinking. And we can look at the future, and I'm talking about life after death, and say, praise God. Even so, Lord, the Spirit says come. The bride says come. And even so, Lord, come now. We have the assurance of our personal service. We have the assurance of the promise of Christ Jesus. We have assurance in the person of the Holy Spirit. And lastly, I might get y'all out of here quick today. Lastly, we have assurance of a promised judgment. Verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in this body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or whether it be bad. The Bible speaks of two judgments. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, talks about the great white throne judgment. When the Lamb's book of life will be opened, and those that have a relationship with Jesus Christ's name will be found, and those that don't, along with Satan and his ministers, will be cast eternally into the lake of fire. And you know what? We take hope in that, don't we? We take joy in that. We have that information that tells us when we stand at the great white throne judgment that we will not be seen, but it will be the blood of Jesus that is seen. But then there's another judgment, the Bema Seat. And I think that this needs to be preached more in the church. Because, you know, we, as Baptists especially sometimes, act like we got the Monopoly Get Out of Hell Free card. And when we get into heaven, all we're going to have to do is flip that Get Out of Hell Free card and all is forgiven and done away. And that's true, we are forgiven. But in the book of Corinthians, because see, he's already talking to them about the judgment, he says that we'll all stand before God and our works will be tried as by fire. And some will come out smelling like fire. You see, believer, yes, you will be judged for what you've done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, or you will be judged for the lack thereof. My daddy, and you know he's probably one of my best friends now, but one day I changed my report card from an F to a B. And I got away with it for like 6 weeks. And Daddy found out about it. And you know, he looked at me and he says, worst of all, I was out there telling everybody how good you were doing. And he said, and now to know you lied, how do you think that makes me feel? I can't help but think that as Christians, we'll stand before God and all the times that we could have served and didn't. You see, when my dad looked at me, I felt his disappointment. And that was probably a greater hurt than anybody else could have ever done. Worse than a whipping or a grounding could have done me. You know, some of you in here today, God's called you to be members of Thomas Village. Some of you watching by Facebook, God's told you to come back. Some God's told you to step up and take a class and to work. And there's always a good excuse. There is. Our body's good at lying to us. Our mind is good at lying to us. But there will be no veils on that day. And the pure motive of our selfishness, the pure motive of our becoming settled in the way of life, we'll see it in the eyes of our Redeemer. And you know what? He's going to forgive us. He's going to let us in. But praise God, what are we missing today? Because we forgot about the promise. We forgot about the power and the person of the Holy Spirit that lives within us to have victorious life and joy in the midst of trials. What about that personal service that James and other great men of God said declares our relationship with God? What about the judgment that's coming? As our piano player and our song director come, we've looked here today, and I know that I could spend a whole lot more time in breaking this down, but I didn't want to get bogged down in a lot of deep thoughts and studies. But we do have this assurance that no matter when our day comes, no matter when our time, we could go by death or we could go in the rapture. But until then, we have that hope in Christ Jesus because we have the information. What kind of information? We have the information like the promise that Jesus has made to us. We have information like the person of the Holy Spirit echoing the truth of this Word in us. We have the evidence and assurance of the life that we are living by power of the Holy Spirit for the Lord, and we have the assurance of it through the coming judgment. As Christians, we have certain and specific promises that's given to us by Christ Jesus. The promise of a place with Him after physical death, being in His presence. Praise God, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I think, too, that if we do our best to let our minds be transformed, then when that day comes, we, like Paul, will be able to say, not only am I confident, but my rathers are to be in heaven than to be here. Glory, hallelujah. This is not the end. It's only the beginning. Today, if you know that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I want to ask you, are you living in victory? Are you living in joy? Are you thinking more on eternal things, or are you letting the temporal things get your attention? It's easy to do. It's easy to let it get you down. Why don't you today just say, Lord, I want to come back to my first love. I want to hold fast to those promises. I want to live my life victoriously every day based on these truths. Maybe today you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. While this message is to those that do know Christ Jesus, today, if the Holy Spirit is moving on you, that the day you need to ask Christ Jesus to forgive your sins, you don't have to be with me. But believe you me, I'd love to show you what the Bible says. Maybe it's time for you to join Thomas Village. Believe you me, I think, and again, like I said, our best days are ahead of us. There's no doubt about that. But I believe that our best days are yet to be seen on this side of glory here at Thomas Village Baptist Church. Maybe you need to be rebaptized, or who knows what your need might be. God may have spoken to you in a way today that I've not even touched on, but the Spirit knows what we need. So right now I'm going to ask you to stand. The altar's open. Won't you come? Hold fast to the eternal assurance that we have that this is not the end. So attentive today. I do ask for your prayers this afternoon, and specifically ask that prayers be for Sister Joanne, Sister Renee, Jeff, and the rest of the family. I'm not going to shake hands. I'm going to bring the car up here and try to get the food loaded up real quick. But do we have any word of praise or testimony before we leave? Don't leave here without saying what God. Amen. Don't leave here without saying what the Holy Spirit wants you to say now. Maybe it's just an amen or a shout. Anyone? All right. I'll close us in a word of prayer, but it's good being with you today. And tonight, come back, we'll be in the book of James, chapter 1, moving on as we see about how the need that both rich and poor can rejoice in Christ. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your many blessings and all that you've done for me. And I ask you right now, Lord, to go with us as we go forth. And God, I pray that we will draw close to you, that we'll live in those promises with victory. We'll live in confidence, and we'll live with joy, knowing that our earthly bodies will soon give way to an eternal body, that in the image of Christ Jesus. And it's in His name I pray. Amen and amen. Love y'all. God bless y'all.